Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short
the
routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
It's Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you as we continue our in-studio, in-person series. First time ever for the pod, which is
somehow.
We literally live 5 minutes away from each other, or we used to live 5 minutes away from each other. But this is the first time we did a pod live, so I don't know. Anyways, whatever. Here we are.
I mean, to be fair, it was more like 15. And 15 minutes in LA is a lot longer than 15 minutes anywhere else.
We're also both low-key introverts.
I don't really want to get into like analyzing what personality I am.
Okay.
Because I'm not quite sure. It depends. It varies.
Okay.
But yeah, I think you and I are actually cut from the same cloth in terms of the we vary. You know, a lot of variance in terms of the extrovert introvert scale.
Yeah. Well, and there's got to be a big reason for me to get out the house. Let me just put it to you that way.
Well, okay? Yeah, you're a family man. You know? you got kids. You got a wife.
Yeah.
You got this wonderful house that I've actually never been in.
That's the crazy part.
That's the thing about
that's
this,
the crazy
James.
Part. Yeah. Okay.
Is it not only have we never done a show together?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I had never until this day been in your house, and we've been quote friends for like a decade.
This
and,
is such a bad look for me.
And, yeah, it's a horrible look for
it's
you.
Such a
and,
bad look.
And quote business partners for three, four years now at this point.
Yeah. Wow,
and never good enough to be invited into Co Manor. But if you are listening to this show and you're a long time listener to, you know, back to us in the NFL days, you do know that, you know, James Coe, especially then, you know, ran in a different social circle, different financial circle than the rest of us plebs on the show. So I guess like, you know what, guys, I can feel good. Like, I made it now.
Okay.
Because I was allowed to cross the moat.
God, Jesus.
He put down the drawbridge.
Oh, my God.
I went through the security test.
I'm at
a social status, just a general status, now to be allowed into Co-Manor.
This is it's such a bad look for me because it's not as if I don't have people at my house. I do.
You just don't have me.
I just have never had Matt here. I don't know why. Anyways, whatever. Neither here nor there. But
we are colleagues, I guess.
Wow, man. Such a bad look for me, bro. Wow. Good to have him inside the co-household, which is great. We're continuing our beer pod series, which is good. I'm having a hazy IPA. Matt's having a Pilsner, and we're having a grand old time, so it's good. Okay. In the episode earlier this week, we talked about first round wide receivers. There's a lot of them right there. A lot of interesting takeaways here. We're going to try to speed up a little bit here in this episode, talk about day two and some interesting day three guys. Got to start right at the top. Pick 2.1 was the Bills, and they take Keon Coleman. And again, Coleman, man, like, I loved his press conference, man. He was a gem, an absolute gem. And I'm really rooting for him now. Really good in contested catch, big body wide receiver here for the Bills. At the time, I didn't love the pick. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't love the pick, but as I've kind of sort of thought about it, Matt, again, he's great in contested catch. And I think he's got a pretty wide catch radius as well. That actually, I think, might bode well for a player like Josh Allen, to be able to kind of sort of say, all right, listen, I could just throw it up there. Hopefully Keon Coleman's out there somewhere and can come down with the ball.
Yeah. This is tough.
I didn't love the pick.
I didn't love the pick either. By the way, shout out to Damian Harris, who did a great job with us on the Yahoo
Live show. He was awesome.
He was incredible,
especially he was good
for the fact that he had 0.0 broadcasting experience. He was electric.
Is that right?
Yeah, insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. He just has it. Some people have it, some people don't. He absolutely has it.
Yeah, he's really good.
So he's great. I've already made the plea to the bosses on the Yahoo show. We got to do more with him. Great. Love to see it.
Right.
But again, we were talking about, he was like disgusted with the fact that Buffalo traded down with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because he was like, these are the guys you're trying to beat, and you're like, you're letting them trade up for Xavier Worthy, a receiver, and then you're trading down. And look, like, I think Ricky Pearsall would have been better for him. There were guys that I liked better than Keon Coleman for that pick. But although when they eventually made the pick, it is kind of tough when you just look at the rest of the board.
Yeah.
A.D. Mitchell wasn't – we'll talk about Mitchell, but he wasn't going to be a fit for everybody. Chris Ballard went to bat for him. For the off-field stuff and the character eval and stuff like that. But, the reality is, and I love Chris Ballard doing that, but the reality is not every team agreed with Chris Ballard's view of the player, right?
And by the way, it's not as if Chris Ballard took him in the first round. Okay, he still took him in the second round. Okay, so it's like I love that Ballard did that, but then at the same time, it's like you yourself, Chris Ballard, also you took him in the second round. You didn't take him in the first. And again, by the way, Adonai Mitchell went 20th overall in the second round. Okay, so I get what Ballard's doing, caping up for his guy, but let's be real.
Yeah. I think that was actually, and I had Mitchell, that was like a slight fall in my mind, because I still thought he wasn't a lock first round prospect.
Right.
But we're not talking about Mitchell here.
Yeah, who cares?
But the point of what I'm saying here is just,
There were guys that I liked, but I can also
sit there and say, I don't think they were really a Ladd McConkey team, because they've got, guys that are going to play flanker, right? Mm-hmm.
They had a need for X.
Like Jalen Polk, another guy I really liked, went right after Ladd McConkey, right after Keon Coleman. I don't really think they're a Polk team either.
No.
They're definitely, like I said, A.D. Mitchell, I think, was the guy that I had ranked higher, who fit best in what they needed. But I get it from just the player perspective, right? I get it. Burton, same thing. Outside receiver, he went in round three, but same stuff with Mitchell, maybe to a 10x degree.
Yes.
Let me say it again. Definitely to a 10x degree.
Yeah, okay.
And again, then you just go down the board. Javon Baker's a guy I liked better than Keon Coleman, who who went in round four, but he is, I think, a developmental guy. Buffalo needs an instant impact receiver this year. I think they needed another body in the room. They needed somebody who's going to be reliable, who's going to catch the ball, who's going to be in the right places against zone coverage. That does describe Keon Coleman's game, right? You look at his reception profile. There's no question he has separation issues against man press coverage. I have talked about this a lot. We're not going to redo the whole thing here. If you want that, you can find our Keon Coleman episode.
Yep.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can go watch the Keon Coleman breakdown. And I talk about sort of the history of these players.
Yeah.
And there's no question. The history is not good for these guys who don't beat press man coverage in college unless they move into the slot. And according to Brandon Bean, he's not going to move into the slot. He's going to play X receiver.
Right.
I think there are going to be some struggles there in terms of consistently separating. I just don't know how you get around that based on who he was in college. Can he develop and grow and get better? Sure. Just the players I've tracked over the years that fit this category, They either move into the slot, they have some sort of role catering, or they're like Christian Watson, DJ Chark, Will Fuller.
Not good.
These like verticals, like splash vertical guys, right? And Coleman's not that explosive of a player. Even if you don't buy the 40, the 4.6140, and you're like, look at the gauntlet drill, look at the gauntlet drill, look at the MPH, the GPS speed, all that. I get it.
4.6140's just so bad, though,
it just doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't matter. You watch him play, he's not that player, right? Yeah. He's not a downfield like burner like a Will Fuller or a Christian
Absolutely
Watson.
Absolutely not.
Or even a DJ Chark prior to his injury. So he's going to be a tough player to project as that X receiver. I talked about this on our Xavier Worthy segment. I kind of come down on this with Keon Coleman that I think I overall don't – like, I don't think Keon Coleman sucks, you know? Like, people are going to post the route chart and they're going to be like, Keon Coleman sucks, you know, because there's a lot of red.
There's no greens.
There's the flat route.
Flat. God dang.
But he's around the prospect average against digs and curls and stuff like that.
Okay.
But yeah, there's no exceptional separation trait. Even the zone coverage score is good, 80.2%.
You'll take that?
We'll take that.
Yep.
So it's not, again, it's not terrible. I don't think he sucks. I do think he has got really good hands and he's confident in his hands, right? I think that matters a lot, especially for a guy that's going to work the middle of the field. And based on just those couple routes we just talked about.
Yep.
Keon Coleman should be working the middle of the field for the Buffalo Bills. All that being said, what does that player amount to?
I mean, Jesus Christ, he wasn't even that productive in college. 50 catches for 658 at FSU, 58 receptions, 798 at Michigan State the year prior.
Yeah, did deal with injuries last year. There's no question.
Okay, but still. I mean, at what point was this guy super productive?
Yeah. No, I mean, there was never a point where he did, quote, outproduce Jaden Reed at MSU, but not by much.
I mean, didn't even have 800 yards at Michigan State. Jesus Christ.
And then last year, obviously, Johnny Wilson and him were like kind of neck and neck. And Johnny Wilson goes on day three of the draft and like people want to convert him to tight end.
Yeah. Right.
Again, he's a little bit of a difficult evaluation. I said this in our Xavier Worthy conversation that I feel like Keon Coleman and just the it sort of points to the Bills in general moving to like that Chiefs vibes of the receiver where we move on from Stephon Diggs and we're not looking for another true number one. We're looking for like a bunch of guys who could
fill a role. Yep.
Who could get like 80, 90, 100 targets in a season, but that's it. Like, I think all of those guys that are on the roster right now, Kincaid, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and Keon Coleman, it's four guys that I could see being somewhere between 80 to 100, but nobody really jumping out like to 130 or 140.
Right.
And like maybe Coleman grows into that.
Yeah.
But it's just really difficult. And like I said with Xavier Leggett, go find me the guy who is a below average separator on the outside against press man coverage. And like point like a funnel an offense through.
Yeah,
That guy doesn't really exist in today's NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be better than that. And like so maybe he develops, but I think until he does, that's sort of the role I have envisioned for him with the Bills.
To be the first pick in the second round, I think is just tough. And you said, oh well, Ladd McConkey went a pick later, and he's not really a fit for the Bills. I actually disagree. You know, I think that, again, when you look at Ladd McConkey's success rates on deeper routes, he was successful there. Obviously, a much faster player, too, right? Running a sub-4.4. So I just think that McConkey, even though he's not an ideal X receiver, he can't play X. Okay, let me just take that back. Not only is he not ideal, he can't play X. That's fine. But you can figure it out finding somebody who can give you I don't know, even slightly below level X receiver play in the NFL. But meanwhile, you've got special players playing flanker, and then Curtis Samuel, I think, can play a little bit of everywhere too, right? So you've got two. If you took Ladd McConkey, I think you've opened up a lot of opportunities for other players to come in and do different things, man. So I don't know, man. And to your point too, the fact that Keon Coleman doesn't, none of these numbers that you're talking about would profile as an outside X receiver anyways.
Yeah.
Right? So you're already not taking an outside X receiver, might as well take Ladd McConkey, man.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just like a real separator, because I think all the guys beyond Stephon Diggs in this Bills passing offense have struggled to consistently separate. Now, I think that McConkey obviously would be a much better addition there from that perspective. So, yeah, I mean, look, I had Ladd two tiers higher than Keon Coleman. So, like, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Crazy.
It's just, I think he's a fine day two pick. But, yeah, first pick in the second round is aggressive. And I think if you're looking for historical comparables from, like, a ceiling perspective and reception perception, guys that are truly below average against man coverage, you know, consistently over the course of their career, it's like Mike Williams, it's like Alshon Jeffrey. How do you feel about that?
If I could get an Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, that's his ceiling. If I could get Alshon Jeffrey out of this player,
I'm feeling good about that. Even these guys, like Mike Williams has had some seasons where he's been like at the average.
And Alshon was a Pro Bowl.
Man impressed. But yes, but obviously Alshon, had some Pro Bowl seasons. So like these are the guys I think that you're looking at in terms of, and that's by the way, like these guys I'm looking at, some of their seasons are just below the average.
Against
press.
Not now, to this level of what we're looking at with Keon.
Right. Now, right. You know, are we looking at him eventually being like, you know, shoot, I don't know, like Devontae Parker? Or are we looking at...
Oh, you can drink now, y'all.
Yeah, right. You can drink now. I am. I'm definitely drinking if I'm a Bills fan and I'm saying this up. You know, are we looking at like Kelvin Benjamin?
No,
it is a little eerie that like,
oh man, the Kelvin Benjamin comp gives me chills.
There's so much. If you really think about the Bills, like there is a little bit of synergy of like Carolina Panthers Cam Newton, right?
Totally.
Right now,
oh, obviously, totally.
Look, Cam wishes he would. Is that a cat? Oh no, it's a bird.
It's a crow. We got a crow. Okay.
Okay. Right. Anyways, they're obviously Cam never had a Stephon Diggs type. Josh has been blessed there, but like right now just the receiver core they have around Josh Allen's very like, all right, I can see some of it, right, whatever, and then like, all right, we're gonna take almost a first round receiver, and it's right. A guy from FSU who can't separate, like is this just another level of, I don't know. I'm definitely concerned just about the ceiling of this receiver room, but Josh Allen, I will say, if you're gonna have a guy who is gonna go out there and be like a average below average receiver against press man and you gotta fire into tight windows, like Josh Allen is the right quarterback to do that with.
Exactly. And this guy's a contested catch god. Like, I love him in contested catch.
And like, I'm okay with him in contested catch. I don't think he's as good as like some of the other receivers in this class. So I'm like more okay on it. But yeah, overall, just I can see where Keon Coleman becomes a successful pro. But I can also see all of these guys, like I said, Kincaid, Shakir, Samuel, Coleman, pretty close in terms of targets and pretty close in terms of production.
Yeah.
And by the way, I can see us at the end of this season saying, you know what Buffalo needs?
Outside X receiver.
Another receiver. You know, which is fine. Like, you got it. You need receivers. You need two, three, four guys, right? Like, you really need three. You really need three.
Yeah. You do.
And, you know, Coleman could be one of those three, but I do wonder if we're going to bump into a ceiling here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
I will say, I think he gives you a little bit more after catch ability than his 4.61 would suggest. But still though, overall, I didn't love the pick. I'm just trying to make it work in my brain. And I think the contested catch stuff and the catch radius stuff, and fitting that in with Josh Allen in adverse weather conditions too, I think is pretty important. So, bottom line is, I wish they went Ladd McConkey right there. I think that made the most sense to me, or Adonai Mitchell. That would have been good too. Malachi Corley, I think, would have been pretty good.
Okay, that's where you lost me. Okay, on the Malachi Corley. Okay. You lost me on that one. I was with you until you said that.
Oh my goodness. All right. Okay. So Keon Coleman goes 2.1 to the Bills. Ladd McConkey, the aforementioned Ladd McConkey, great separator, can't play outside X, but a slot flanker and just a perfect slot flanker. I should say flanker slot, really, because I want to highlight the flanker stuff for Ladd McConkey. He goes to the Chargers. Now, the Chargers, they obviously had a clear need at wide receiver. They go Joe Alt in the top five there, offensive tackle, there in the first round. And then they turn around, second pick in the second round. They go take Ladd McConkey. I love the pick.
Love the pick. This is why, you know, I feel like I spent so much time this draft season almost like preparing people, fantasy fans,
okay,
NFL fans,
yep,
Chargers fans,
all right,
for the reality that they were going to take a tackle at five.
Yeah.
I said it so much. Even if I would have maybe done something different,
yeah,
the reality is like Jim Harbaugh is taking a tackle.
Okay? For sure.
He's taking a tackle at five. They did take a tackle at five. It's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think the reason you do that is because then you can come back at the top of the second round and get yourself a really good receiver. And you know what the Chargers did? Took a tackle at five. They come back at the top of the second round. They trade up. They grab Ladd McConkey. And I love this, okay? Ladd McConkey walks onto the Chargers and is, from the jump, easily the best separator on the roster.
Oh, easy.
Easy. And probably just straight up the best receiver on the roster right now by, like, maybe a lot, you know?
Who else is there?
I mean, it's Josh Palmer.
Nope.
I think he's an acceptable wide receiver three for an NFL team.
Sure, okay.
And he's definitely the second best guy behind Ladd McConkey because Quentin Johnson had a disaster of a rookie season.
Disaster.
He's a full rehabilitation project.
Never going to work. Just FYI, never going to work. I just want people to know. Matt won't say it. I'll say it. Never going to work. Okay, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's in the Jalen Reagor zone.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the odds that he is facing, right?
Yeah, like, right.
Maybe he can become an acceptable player himself. But, like, after doing that, what he did in his rookie season, you know, the in-season rookie report is on the site.
Yeah.
You know, when you're around there, like, yeah, it's tough. It's really tough to find a lot of guys who became great players from there. So that's where we're at. With these receivers.
So he comes in. He's the wide receiver one. Now, I don't think, again, you just pop on his film, crispy route running, great hands. You know, he's good on vertical, but his ability to sell vertical, I think, is really, really good, man. That's what.
Best out route runner in the class.
And I mean, like, shoot.
Justin Herbert throws great outbreaking patterns like to the field. And what I mean by that is like he's on one hash and it's different. It's not the same in college football where it's like complete joke.
Right.
You know, the hashes and stuff like that. But he has so much arm strength to drive the ball outside the numbers to the opposite side of the field. Like, he's just, he's one of the best. He's so talented from an arm talent perspective and from a playing on time perspective.
Yeah.
So Ladd's a perfect fit there. And yeah, just the separation overall, number four in success rate versus man coverage in the class. Number three in success rate versus zone coverage. Now, there are issues against press. There are issues in contested situations. No question about that, right? Like, that's
this guy's a back shoulder guy and not a contested catch guy.
Correct, yeah, because of the timing.
Like, right.
The timing that he plays with, right. The pro readiness. And that's right. Another thing with Ladd, too. You watch him, and that's the guy who's ready to play in the NFL. Like, he's ready to go out there and be a high-quality contributor from day one, which they desperately needed. Like, they didn't need to take – I mean, even like an A.D. Mitchell. Like, I like A.D. Mitchell, but they don't need that guy. Like, they need somebody that they can just say, like, all right, I'm watching him at Georgia. I see a pro-ready receiver. And I think that's what you get with McConkey. And by the way, I think he fits pretty seamlessly into this offense. You know, Greg Roman, I think, has almost kind of gotten, like, too much shit by, like, NFL media.
Okay.
As you know. Well, he's because he's like kind of a floor setter to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna have a terrible offense under Greg Roman, but you're gonna run into a ceiling. Like, and I guarantee you, in 4 years, maybe fewer than that, but at some point in the Herbert Roman pairing, we're gonna be having the same sort of conversation,
100%,
as we did with Lamar. Like, we've run into a ceiling here.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
But for year one, you know, there's gonna be plays available, like crossing routes, middle of the field stuff, pre-snap motion things.
Yeah.
For Ladd McConkey, I think he's a really good fit on those.
I love the pick there for the Chargers. The Patriots then, a few picks later, go Jalen Polk, and they take him out of Washington. I'll just be frank. I didn't like this pick at all. I think Jalen Polk, to me, is a guy. He's a guy. I mean, I think he's a player that's going to absolutely add depth to your wide receiver room. But taking him at 2.5, to me, that's too early. I just felt like they went around too early on Jalen Polk.
I disagree.
Okay.
I loved this pick for New England.
You loved it?
I loved it.
Loved it?
If you look at my stack ranking on the site, receptionperception.com,
all right,
he is in the priority round two bucket, which is you take him early in the second round.
Sure.
This is where I had him ranked. You know, if a team had taken him 32nd overall, I mean, that would have been aggressive as a first round pick, but like, same bucket, really, for me. So, I love this pick by the Patriots for a couple of different reasons.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you talk about, like, he's just a guy. I don't think he's flashy.
No.
But I think he's really good. Like, I think he's got some good to exceptional marks in his profile, James. I mean, he's second behind only Roma Dunze in success rate versus zone coverage, 83.5%. Wow. His man coverage success rate, 68.1%, is solid.
Yeah,
his 69.2% success rate versus press is also solid.
Yep.
Like, you look at the routes that he's really good on, it's the intermediate portion of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And even a little bit like on vertical routes. Like, I think he's not the fastest player, but he's got pretty good build-up speed. So when he gets a free release, which he will get a lot of free releases because he's not an X, they take Javon Baker in the fourth round. And I know you love that pick.
Sure.
I love that pick too. I just think New England crushed the draft from a wide receiver perspective. You get a developmental X guy who probably plays behind Kendrick Bourne this year because he's coming from one of these Big 12 offenses with a stripped down route tree only on one side of the field. Give me a freaking break. But like, Baker could be their X receiver in his second season, or maybe even late this year. Or, you know, maybe Kendrick Bourne is not healthy and he's just got a role. And I think that's possible, but he's probably more of a developmental guy. So that's your X receiver position. But Polk is going to get these free releases because he's playing in the slot. He's playing as a flanker. And, like, again, when you give him those build-up speed routes, he can separate against man coverage on those patterns. So I think what Drake May needed.
Yeah.
That had to be some of the worst case of whiplash that a quarterback has ever experienced, going from the 2022 UNC offense with Josh MFing Downs, like a I win on my routes. I'm in the
every
right
place
at the right time. I beat man coverage. I beat zone coverage.
Yep.
And I have great hands overall in contested situations as well. And then you get like Tez Walker last year and the rest of the dudes at UNC.
Okay.
That had to be one of the worst cases of whiplash a quarterback's ever experienced.
Okay.
I think we are in a much better place with like just we needed a reliable guy. Polk has great hands. He's great in tight coverage.
Great
catch radius, and he gets open against zone coverage. Like, what else do you want to have your rookie quarterback be gifted with other than that at the top of the second round?
The problem for me is a little bit of role, right? I don't know where Kendrick Bourne is at, but we like Pop Douglas to a degree. I think he can play out of the slot a little bit here. They've also got Juju Smith-Schuster, who they brought on. I don't know how much he's got juice he has left.
Not a lot.
I don't know how many knee ligaments he has left or knee cartilage he's got left. I don't think very much at all, but that's okay. But between Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas, Juju Smith-Schuster, they needed an outside X receiver. And I don't think that Jalen Polk is that guy.
I'm not even thinking about Juju. Like, I'm not even thinking he's
doesn't
a part
exist.
Of, I don't think he's like a part of this team's plans this year. I think that was like one of the last Belichick wide receiver moves. To me, what it looks like, I mean, who else is on their depth chart? You know, I mean,
nobody. Keyshawn Booty, and he's gone. Jalen Reagor, he's gone. Yeah, Tyquan Thornton, he's a bust. Okay.
Right. These are all like maybe depth guys outside receivers. But for me, what it looks like, week one, I get it. Kendrick Bourne is coming off an ACL. So, you know, that is obviously a question mark.
Yeah, we got to see.
He's probably your X because he can beat man coverage early in the season until Javon Baker's ready to take over.
Okay.
I think Polk is your Z. Your flanker who moves into the slot in certain situations, I would say he's probably like a 60-40 outside-inside player.
Right.
And yeah, Pop Douglas is your slot who can also play a little bit outside because if you look at his in-season data, his rookie report data, he had pretty good marks against man coverage. So to me, that's your three receiver set. Baker's your fourth guy who is developing as that X receiver because the strength of his game was beating press man coverage and winning on vertical routes. So, think about New England's receiver core the last few years. That's way better. What I just outlined there is miles better than what Mac Jones dealt with at any point.
100%. I totally agree with that. I just thought that fifth pick in the second round for a player like Polk, who, again, I don't think can play X. I just felt like that was early. That was early to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at him in that bucket of, Keon Coleman and Xavier Leggett, maybe those guys have higher theoretical ceilings, but I think they have lower floors. And I don't think New England could afford, and I think even A.D. Mitchell, just from the personality stuff, the off, whatever you want to say, I think there was a lower floor there. And like Jermaine Burton, same thing. Those are two guys I had ranked, ahead of Jalen Polk. But I think if you're New England, you needed to get... You just need to get on base. And I think Jalen Polk helps them get on base.
Okay.
And then because they come back in the fourth round
and take a ceiling swing in Javon
Baker,
right,
that makes me like the pick even more.
I love
what New England did at the draft this year, getting Drake May third and then getting him two guys that are going to help him succeed. Love what they did.
All right, there you go. A.D. Mitchell, as we talked about for the Colts, took him second round, 20th pick. In that second round, A.D. Mitchell profiles as a really good X receiver. There's some, I guess, I don't even know if you want to call them character concerns, but maybe some personality concerns or something like that in regards to whether he's coachable and stuff like that. I don't know. Whatever. Again, I'm not here to talk about those things because I'm not in the building. How the hell should I know? But A.D. Mitchell now goes to the Colts. The bottom line is I think it's a great fit. When you talk about A.D. Mitchell on the outside, maybe winning, deeper vertical routes, you've got Michael Pittman winning the intermediate area and Josh Downs winning those, short area routes. That's a really good wide receiver trio. And again, Alex Pierce, who I know they spent a second round pick on. Hey, listen, he can work in as well. He's going to give you some shot plays as well, just like we saw last year, too. So overall, I really like the pick in terms of fit and need for the Indianapolis Colts.
Also really love the pick. Think they got him at great value. And he is the exact type of receiver that they needed. Because similar to what we talked about with Brian Thomas Jr., where they clearly needed a outside X receiver, like a true boundary guy that can win against press man coverage, did the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
But they didn't need that guy to be like the guy, right? Because they've got two guys in Michael Pittman and Josh Downs. It can be high-end separators and high-end target earners.
Yeah, like high-volume guys.
High-volume guys, correct. For sure. What you needed is sort of like what Alec Pierce was supposed to provide you, which is a vertical presence, a tight coverage guy. And like, even if that's all that you get and that's your third most targeted player, like I'm higher on this Colts receiver room than I think basically like every member of the national media. Like just the reality is I think these are good players. And you didn't need like a true number one in that spot. Cause I think Pittman
I agree.
Pittman's sort of in that same bucket we were talking about on the last show of like Deontay Johnson, Deebo Samuel, like probably not a true one, but like right there in that yep. next group, which is fine. You can get away with that as your number one. Josh Downs, I think, is ready to erupt in his second season. Really good film as a rookie receiver. But you just needed a boundary guy. You needed a vertical presence.
Totally.
You got a guy in A.D. Mitchell that can definitely be that and maybe more, right? Like that's the thing of what,
right. There's upside there.
What I love about this pick, the upside there. Yeah. Like, it's pretty similar. I gave the George Pickens comparison a lot, both from just like a playing style perspective and, you know, what happened in the draft. They actually both went at the 52nd overall pick, despite the fact I ranked them as tier three prospects, like fringe round one, round two types. So they get him at a good value there, just like Pickens. You know, you look at A.D. Mitchell overall, he's sixth in the class in success rate versus man, just behind Malik Nabers. He's fifth in the class in success rate versus press, just ahead of Brian Thomas Jr.
Wow.
Now, the zone coverage score has got to be better. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about a pure boundary X receiver, he's mostly going to face press man coverage.
Exactly right.
So he's going to be in the position to succeed.
Yeah, there. not as important, certainly, to win against zone when you're talking about that specific role for A.D. Mitchell. I love the pick overall for the Colts. And again, really great value because they got him late in the second round. So really, really good stuff. I actually thought this is a first-round player.
Again, fringe round one, round two type.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Not like a guy that if you took in the first round, I wouldn't blink, right?
Right.
Like
totally.
Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison last year got the same grade from me. And those guys went in the first round and like nobody should criticize that. So A.D. Mitchell, same sort of range there. And again, like now you look at this Colts receiver room and like we're kind of ready to rock here.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Charles Robinson was explaining to me, Yahoo senior NFL insider, that like they were very interested or reportedly were rumored to be very interested in Xavier Worthy in round one.
Okay.
Because the way the Colts have viewed it is we've got two of the three areas of the field settled.
Right.
We've got the short area. That's Josh Downs.
Right.
The intermediate area. That's Michael Pittman. And he could do a little bit of everything. But that deep area of the field, we don't quite have. And we have a quarterback who can exploit that deep area of the field.
Right.
So now you're going to have a guy, like I think this Colts offense the last 2 years, especially obviously the Matt Ryan year, and really honestly the Gardner Minshew year too, you had teams just squat.
Squat
on these receivers.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to do that now with A.D. Mitchell.
Right. All right, so we talked about A.D. Mitchell right there. Jermaine Burton goes in the third round, in the middle of the third round. He goes to the Bengals. Again, talk about a luxury pick. I mean, this is a team that's got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. What did you think about Jermaine Burton going to Cincinnati?
I was surprised he went at the 16th pick of the third round.
That's what I mean.
I thought he was going to fall to day three, you know, based on some of the things we've heard. But the Bengals, who had kind of shaken that reputation of, like, we take chances on character flaw guys. They go right back to the old ways here, man. They get right back to the old ways here on Jermaine Burton. And, like, I think what people don't understand is this is a fall for Jermaine Burton because his film is wide receiver four in the class worthy, and it's round one worthy. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So he's not your normal third-round receiver.
No.
I thought he would get dinged even more than this, but I think it's smart for the Bengals to take a chance here because it's a third round pick. Like, who cares? And the upside is tremendous for Jermaine Burton, who among the receivers that I charted was third in success rate versus man and fourth in success rate versus press. Like I said, that's round one receiver stuff, buddy. And it's the routes that he wins on, too. I mean, 96.6% success rate on the dig, down the field routes, short routes, like intermediate areas. It's all three levels. And I say all that press man stuff. James, like, look at the route percentage chart. It's all none of like slant route below average, flat route below average, curl route below average. The routes he's running are the downfield patterns.
Yep.
So he's still getting open at this level. And better yet, you see him get a lot of exposure in contested catch situations because it just wasn't a real steady quarterback situation at Alabama this year. A whopping 32.6% of his targets that I sampled were contested. and he had a 78.6% catch rate in contested situations. So can win the ball, can separate, can burn downfield, can win layup routes, can win at all three levels. Yeah, that sounds like a round one receiver guy, to me. And I think the Bengals get him at a value area here.
Yeah, mid-third
and
round.
He can fill an immediate need to stretch the field out. And obviously, like, he could be – if he – this is almost why it's nice that T. Higgins is there.
Okay.
Is that now you can really, truly see what you get out of Burton this year.
So here's my question. Is this like an intern year for Jermaine Burton? Because – I don't see a clear role for him on this particular team, right? Like all the characteristics that you mentioned point to a player that needs to play outside. They've got two guys that 100% are going to play outside. What they don't have is an inside wide receiver. Jermaine Burton doesn't fill that role in my mind. So is this a red shirt year here for Jermaine Burton? I mean, because here's the real deal. Why would you ever take Jamar Chase or T. Higgins off the field to get this guy reps as outside wide receiver?
Well, you're not going to take them off the field, but you can bump Jamar Chase inside. You know, they've done that at times. I think he was more of a movable chess piece last year than we've normally seen.
Yeah.
His snaps off the line are going to jump up when you see the full season data. Mm-hmm. His slot rep probably going to go up. And like, he actually told me at the Super Bowl, I thought that's really interesting, that he wants to play more outside. He wants more
interesting
reps as that slot guy, but they don't totally trust him there yet, which I found interesting. I don't know why they don't trust him there yet, but it's something that he's working on to prove to them that he can do more of, because he wants to do more of it. Dude, you ask any of these guys, and I know, not any of them, but you ask a lot of these high quality receivers this day and age, they want to play inside because they know the matchup advantages that they're going to get there.
Right.
I mean, they want to rip big over routes from the slot. They want to be facing against linebackers and safeties. I bet you – I would – if Jermaine Burton hits, you could see Jamar Chase hit like a career high in slot snaps this year.
And what are we talking, like 35%?
Oh, north. I would say maybe 40%+.
Wow.
Because – you can he's just a matchup nightmare in there. Like, again, you imagine him running a free release crossing route from the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to toast people, right? Sure. Like, that's where you become. That's where you see Jamar Chase become like 160, 170 target receiver, like a CeeDee Lamb has, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could see that this year. I think Burton could help free that up. I also think, maybe there's a chance he's the fourth receiver in like Charlie Jones, who's a nice little slot prospect that they drafted last year. Maybe he's the full-time slot this year. But I also think Jermaine Burton, who was primarily an X receiver in the sample I took from him, 82.6% of his sample snaps outside was on the line for 70.2%. He could still be a guy that uses a speed slot, right, that you get inside in situations as well. But, yeah, I do think what I'd love to see from – if I'm the Bengals is I'd just love to see, like, can we get Burton on the field in certain situations? Can we just get him in the program? Can we get Joe Burrow to be like, hey, buddy, like, I need you. Like, let's get on the same page here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what I think you want out of Burton in year one. And then going forward, maybe he's the long-term replacement for T. Higgins. Because that's what I like having him this year, because you can see that. And if you see those signs and signals from Burton, they're like, okay, all the character stuff, we've moved past it. He's grown. He's matured because, hey, that's what young men do, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You're more mature, hopefully, as you get older, right?
Yeah.
You grow the F up. Maybe he grows up, and then by 2025 – T. Higgins has moved on.
Yeah.
Maybe then they tag and trade him or whatever. Maybe he just walks in free agency, which would suck if you're the Bengals. But then you're just like ready to throw Jermaine Burton out there because you've essentially got a round one player at a huge discount here.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it should be a little bit of a, I don't know, wake up call for Burton too, right? Like, you know, you talk about these round one traits. There's look for the play on the field. There's no way he's thinking like, Jesus Christ. He's like, I got to be better than all these dudes, you know. Just from a mentality standpoint, for him to fall into the mid third round, certainly I think it's got to be a little bit of a wake up call. I don't know. We'll see how the player responds. I think that's going to be interesting to track here from a Cincinnati perspective for sure. Troy Franklin out of Oregon, he goes in the fourth round. So now we've gone into day three. Second pick overall there in the fourth round. He goes to the Denver Broncos. I thought this was, again, you know, I don't love Troy Franklin, but overall really good value, I think, when you're taking a guy of what Troy Franklin can give you in the fourth round.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This was a fall, for sure, for Troy Franklin. I think a lot of people were surprised. Now, may have mentioned on the show, I think I definitely mentioned it to you off air, that I had heard from people that, oh yeah, he's actually got some negative character reports or negative interviews, you know, stuff just off the field that the teams were concerned about.
Right. There was some concerns about coachability, I believe.
It's a lot of stuff kind of working together there. And you saw him fall to the fourth round, which surprised people. Like, if you did your dynasty rookie draft before the NFL draft, just a guy that was going in like the first round. It's tough when the player falls to the fourth round there in the actual NFL draft. So there's definitely some need to adjust expectations here with Troy Franklin based on what the NFL told you, because I also think he was overrated as a round one like projection. I had Franklin in like a fine range, like a day. He was a day two guy to me. So this is, again, it's a fall for him. Overall, like, his success rates are solid. 70.3% success rate versus man, 82.4% against zone.
Oh, that's what you want to see.
But there was a butt coming. But 26th percentile success rate versus press.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's an issue. The contested catch rate is bad. Yeah, the drop rate is bad. The hands are not good.
The hands.
This is a guy that is a tough projection, because he mostly played as a vertical X receiver at Oregon, running a lot of in-breaking routes. And like, he's not going to be a vertical X in the NFL because of the size. And because of the, like, I'm usually not the size hater, but like, the size shows up on film.
6'2", 176?
So what do you do with that?
Oosh. Like,
I think he's a speed Z receiver is probably what he is in Sean Payton's offense. Yeah. I actually do think the fit with Denver is interesting. So that is worth noting, that I like, okay, I think they traded up for him. They match him up again with his college quarterback and Bo Nix. So it's pretty decent from that perspective. And they do need a speed Z receiver. Like, they have Cortland Sutton as the X. Marvin Mims is a slot. Josh Reynolds is, you know, a solid outside receiver. So there's like, this is a depth chart he could climb, but he's going to have to take to coaching. He's going to have to develop a little bit. And I think he's got to get bigger. Like, it just, he's too easy of a player to take away now at this point.
You talked about Marvin Mims in that room too. And I know a lot of people really excited about potential development there, but, as you have highlighted for Marvin Mims, he's got a long way to go.
He was like unplayable at times as a route runner last year.
That's crazy.
And like, he was a guy that your favorite like yards per route run fantasy analyst was like, look at the yards per route run, look at the yards per route run. Like, go watch how those yards were accumulated on like a small handful of plays, and then go watch all the plays where he's not getting yards because he's not getting targets because he's not getting open.
I mean, my dude was only, I mean, early part of the season, what's he's playing like 7 snaps a game, running, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 routes a game, nothing. He was, and so that's why people were getting really like, okay, I wonder if he actually plays more, might he actually produce more too? But you know, your film study obviously showed there's a reason why he wasn't hitting the field.
Yeah, developmental guy. I think Denver's offense is more interesting post-draft. I mean, obviously
the quarterback though, come on bro.
Yeah, the Bo Nix thing, like,
come on dude,
what ceiling are we shooting for here?
What are we doing here?
I don't know. I think Franklin's an interesting pick here for Denver. But he's a guy that even if he had gone on day 2, I would have said the exact same thing. And the fact that he falls to day 3, I feel even more strongly about this. That he's a guy that I could see certainly developing into a quality NFL player. I don't know, like superstar level, but a quality NFL player. Yeah. But I could also see him just like, he never gets past the frame. He never gets past the press coverage ability. He never gets past the ability that he can't work over the middle. Mm. And he never truly like becomes the guy that trusts his hands and then his team doesn't trust him.
Oy.
And that's like 4... potentially career ruining like things
I just outlined there.
So he's just a guy that like there's a severe level of adjustment that needs to take place for the expectations.
So from a route running perspective though, there's something that I really like about his game. And this shows up on tape too, right? Like his start stop ability I think is really good.
Curl routes, baby. 85.4% exactly. Success rate.
And that to me is something where you work that into today's NFL, that's beautiful.
Yep, there's something here. There is something here. I'm just not sure how easy it's going to be to get the water from the stone.
Okay.
And I'm not sure like how deep of a cup we're going to be able to fill up with this water.
Yeah. But that combination, though, super high success rate on the curls and the super high success rate on the 9 routes, that's a combination that's very interesting. And again, you're getting this player in the 4th round, man. Yeah. You know, there's upside there.
This was, I mean, that's a great pick in the 4th round for sure.
Yeah.
Second pick in the 4th round, totally fine.
All right, 10th pick in the 4th round there is Javon Baker. You know I love this pick. I love this player more than Troy Franklin. I love this pick. I went so far as to say I like this pick more than Adonai Mitchell. I really think the upside for Javon Baker is there. Is he a better player as we sit here today as we're recording late April? No, but the dog in this guy, the fight in this guy, man, like I love what I'm seeing from a development standpoint there with Javon Baker. And I tell you, 3 years from now, would anyone be surprised if Javon Baker is the 4th or 5th best receiver in this class?
Yeah, because he went in the 4th round, so people would be surprised. But there's definitely development that needs to be had here, right? And we talked about him a little bit earlier in the Polk sections. We didn't spend a ton of time on him, but he's got really interesting traits. I mean, 88th percentile success rate versus press. Not a ton of routes, but like he shows you a real ability to win there. And like he gets open at all 3 levels while running 35.6% of his routes were 9 routes. Pretty crazy stuff.
It's insane.
The catch radius is there. Crazy. I think the dog mentality you mentioned is there.
Yeah.
Just hearing him say, you know, crazy stuff after the draft, like people in wheelchairs stand up, you know, like that's some like out of pocket stuff that you want your crazy number one receiver 100%. To say.
It's so out of pocket, but man. But tells you about the mentality he's got, though.
100%. So I do think he's a developmental player.
Yeah.
But hey, if you get a good vibe from that guy and like he's gonna develop, you know, the dog mentality like that needs to take place there.
Yeah.
Good sign. Good sign. Oh, I think. Man.
I love the pick, and we talked about it earlier in the show too. But just that combination with Jalen Polk too. I thought New England, you know, again, I didn't love the look. I've been on record saying now I didn't love Jalen Polk. Pick at 2.5, but when you combine that with Javon Baker at 4.10, okay, now it's a combination of moves that I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. The combination of it is what really sells it to me.
All right, talk to me about Malik Washington. This is another day three pick out of Virginia, goes to Miami, you know, playing alongside their two great wide receivers. Sixth round pick is Malik Washington. What did you think about the pick there in Miami?
I fucking loved it.
Wow.
I love Malik Washington.
Okay.
I love that Miami was the one that pulled the trigger.
Okay.
Got a quote here, yeah. Courtesy of @32 beat writers. Dolphins general manager Chris Greer to Malik Washington on the phone call. You can watch this on Twitter too. He, Mike McDaniel, has been bugging me to draft you here in the last couple of rounds. McDaniel follows it up and says, "That's an understatement. I've been seriously annoying towards him. Your rookie year can be very productive if you're a pro, which I know you can be immediately because you're going to have the opportunity."
Holy
and hell. You look at Malik Washington, he was the lead player in terms of the rookie roundup, which went up right before the NFL draft. So I actually don't think we've had a chance to talk about it on this show.
No, we have not. No.
Because, it literally went up the morning of the NFL draft. Malik Washington, 72.1% success rate versus man coverage, 82.1% success rate versus zone, a guy that gets open at all three levels, great, great hands, James, zero drops in his three-game sample.
Zero.
80% contested catch rate.
Woo!
Like, it's beyond crazy to me that guys like Wandale Robinson and Rondale Moore went in day two.
Yeah.
And this guy goes in the sixth round. He broke multiple records at UVA last year, school records. He was heavily recruited from Northwestern, not really like a productive player at Northwestern. UVA recruits him and says, "Hey, kid, we're going to make you the feature player in this passing offense."
Right.
And he delivers to the point that he breaks multiple school records, and he does this in terms of reception perception, like gets open at all three levels.
Right.
He runs like the Rich Rebar from Sharp Football Stats compared him to if Maurice Jones-Drew became a wide receiver, because he's got that like rolling ball of butcher knives status after the catch. Like, everything I'm outlining here, yeah, is that not a perfect fit with Mike McDaniel 100%. On the Miami Dolphins? I believe Mike McDaniel when he says that if this guy's a pro, who, by the way, again, recruited from Northwestern and becomes the featured player of UVA's passing offense, like, of course, that guy's a pro. Like, we've already seen an example of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's going to get to the NFL, and he has that opportunity. I believe Mike McDaniel when he says that. So, like, sixth rounder Malik Washington, which, number one, is egregious that he went in the sixth round to begin with. Like, he's going to outproduce a ton of guys that went ahead of him. I mean, this is rude, but, like, freaking Luke McCaffrey goes to the bottom of the third round and Malik Washington is in the sixth round. That is bananas to me, despite the bloodline. So,
yeah,
he's going to outproduce multiple guys that were drafted ahead of him. I'm very high on Malik Washington. I'm even higher now that he landed with the Miami Dolphins, and Mike McDaniel has this much enthusiasm for him.
Oh, and there's a clear need, right? Because,
yes.
I mean, just a gaping hole. They didn't really use a third wide receiver, and to a degree, I think that makes a lot of sense, right? You got Tyreek Hill, you got Jaylen Waddle, you got to feed these guys the football. The tight end position does not exist on that offense. But they had a need here at slot receiver, and it sounds like Malik Washington could just step right in, parachute right in, and be a contributor for this passing offense.
Yeah, I love it. The pre-snap motion that they're going to be able to do with Malik Washington. They've got like Braxton Berrios and River Craycraft. Like, these are the guys that have stepped onto the field when they've needed that third receiver. Malik Washington is just better than these guys.
Right.
And like, he plays above his size. He's again, brought down on first contact on 45% of his in-space attempts, which was 20 attempts in the three-game sample. Broke multiple tackles on 20% of those.
Like, pretty
good. A yak player, a run-after-catch player, perfect for this offense, reliable, has the hands.
How many more yak players can this Miami offense have, man? Like, come on, bro.
I know. It is.
It's a little outrageous.
Dude. It is a little outrageous, but it is probably, I would say, in terms of the high-end offenses in the NFL, one of the most unique offenses out there. So this is the right spot for Malik Washington. Loved the pick.
You think about Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill as their wide receivers, and that's fine, you know. But again, I know Raheem Mostert was great. You know, my bold prediction around this time last year was that Raheem Mostert was going to be a top five running back in the NBA, in the NFL, and lo and behold, he was a top five running back in the NFL. But Devin Achane, oh yeah. My God. I mean, you throw him into the mix as well. Jesus Christ. If you're talking about Malik Washington being this, you know, bowling ball type of, you know, player, good Lord. There's just so much explosiveness after the catch. When we're talking about Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, you throw Malik Washington in the mix, and then Devin Achane as well, man. That's that is scary. That is scary. If they can get, you know, if they keep their quarterback healthy, there in Tua, this is going to be a team that's obviously going to contend for a title as well, man.
Yeah, super excited. I don't know if they're going to contend for a title because they probably still can't play in cold weather, but...
that's such a good point.
But I think they're going to put up a lot of points. They're going to be.
Why can't they play in cold weather? It's so interesting.
That is a conversation for another podcast, yeah, for sure. Exactly. But love Malik Washington's fits in the. I love his fit with the offense. I love his fit in the receiver room, and it was neat. And I'm happy that Mike McDaniel has such conviction about it.
All right, there you go. So there you go. We covered a lot of ground on these last two episodes, and it's been, again, one of the most deepest receiver classes that we can remember, man. But we could spend hours talking about this, honestly, and we have, obviously. But this draft was really interesting. A lot of interesting choices and really, I would say, really interesting landing spots for some of these players as well. So we're going to see how it all pans out, man. But this was step one, certainly, in their journey in the NFL. All right, listen, we got to go, man, but I do want you guys to go check out their website, receptionperception.com. All of these prospects that we've talked about, they're on the website, man. So if you want to get a full, a more full picture as to what these guys are good and maybe not so good at, go to the website, receptionperception.com. All right, and if you stuck with us this long, great. We appreciate you guys. Like and subscribe as well. That would do us a huge favor and certainly keep us motivated in terms of pumping out all this content for you guys. Anyways, but we got to go. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. And remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.